Welcome to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs, marketers, and founders to accelerate growth and thrive with Shopify. And now, on to 228.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Dot Digital, a customer engagement platform that's been innovating for over 20 years, helping digital marketers and developers deliver communications across the customer journey. Now, Dot Digital grew from a pub in the UK to a global organization with over 350 employees serving 4,000 customers that span industries from e-commerce all the way through to not-for-profit. If you need to engage smarter, convert faster, and deliver big, Dot Digital is with you every step of the way. And they're just getting started, from transactional emails to SMS campaigns, segment analytics to communication APIs, Dot Digital is at the forefront of customer engagement. Learn more about their incredible solution, why they're part of the Shopify Plus Certified App Program. Get all the details today at dotdigital.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve Hutt, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, actually an encore, my guest is Robin Smith. He is the CEO and co-founder of a company called VL Omni. That's virtual logistics, but VL Omni. And they are an integration platform for managed, what's called IPaaS data integrations. That's integrated product as a service. And what they do is they help empower businesses like Shopify brands to accelerate their growth by integrating their systems, their channels, partners, applications, everything all together. Based on their specific needs. This is a great conversation. I believe it's timely right now. A lot of brands I'm speaking to right now, and that might be you listening today, they're looking to make investments to accelerate their growth through some of their connected systems they currently have, so legacy systems, and maybe any new systems they might be adding onto the mix. So it's exciting to have Robin again on the show. So welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, and it's great to be here again and excited to be speaking to your listeners.
Absolutely. You know, the last time we spoke was literally, I believe it was probably pre-pandemic. So it's been a few years. And, you know, you have been helping and I've been sending you leads quite often for brands to say, hey, I'm having a business challenge here and this out of the box solution is not working for me. And I know that you've been very helpful, you and your team kind of, you know, sitting down, coming to the table, helping brands. And so I think we might need to talk a bit about specifically about VL Omni, the company, and on a high level first. I'm sure we're going to unpack a lot today, but just on a high level first about what sort of problems does your company solve for Shopify brands?
For sure. We've been around now for 28 years, 1994.
Wow.
And yeah, so we've been around the block a few times. and I've got the bruises and the scars to show for it. We're one of the first companies in Canada to offer integration in EDI. So we come out of B2B. We know B2B very well. And we offered EDI integration into a whole variety of ERPs, CRM, and 3PL platforms. Obviously, fast forward, we had the recession in 2009, the adoption and movement to cloud, and then we had all of the disruption in retail. And we pivoted and started integration to marketplaces, to things like Commerce Hub, Walmart, Amazon, eBay, and so on and so forth. So we come at integration in the e-com space from not only direct-to-consumer through major retailers, but also through B2B And we have customers that are in the logistics space, so we provide integration to logistics, to 3PLs. We work with POS systems, and then we work with merchants in North America and in Europe and the Middle East to provide integration. And what's interesting is that, and this is probably where our background in EDI comes out, is that in today's retail world, a lot of the integration is approached as simply a technical exercise. We've always maintained that it's not just a technical exercise, but it's a business exercise. And this is where our managed service now comes into play, is that we own our integration platform, which is built on AWS microservices technology. We provide a managed element in the sense that we work with the customer, with the merchant, to define what they want to do strategically, how it's going to impact their business. And then we tailor the integrations. They're not custom built. They're stock connectors. We collect the business requirements and input into those connectors and transforms. We overlay the business strategy with the technology. And I think this is where we diverge from the, you know, what I would call the plug and play type tool.
It's interesting you mention that, because I think that's one of the, I guess I'd call it almost the consultative kind of process that you folks have there, which I think is quite unique to the marketplace, because there are lots of connectors and things that are available. And I think, you know, when a brand finds out that there's a challenge between the two and they're not talking together correctly, you know, it can go down an interesting rabbit hole. But you like to pull back a bit and actually understand, you know, what are the business outcomes that we're trying to achieve here? And let's talk about it and let's lay it out on paper so we can actually figure it out. So, and like, I have firsthand knowledge because I have many brands that have used your services, but maybe you can just share with those listening today, just to talk a little bit more about like how it works, like how can a Shopify brand, what can they expect out of this kind of consultative process to learn what they currently have as their tech stack and kind of where they're trying to move to into the future?
Yeah. And I think within the Shopify merchant community, you've got to identify the ones that can benefit from the approach. So you've got merchants that are using, you know, what I would call plug and play type solutions. So they may be, you know, an off-the-shelf OMS with Shopify, and they're using QuickBooks. So all these things, there's a plug that allows you to connect them together. Those guys, unless they're at a point where they're scaling and they're into the $20, $30, $40 million, and they're really struggling with operational issues, are probably not in our target profile. So the ones that would be were the ones that on the back end are now running an ERP. They may be using 3PLs or have their own warehouses, and there's a certain level of complexity to their operation. They are the ones that can benefit significantly. So our approach actually starts in the sales cycle, and it's really about having a conversation with the customer around what it is that they are looking to do. And, you know, everybody says, well, I want you to connect my ERP to my Shopify. You know, yeah, well, what does that mean? Do you want us to do orders? What channels do you have in your Shopify store? Do you have POS? Are you getting your Amazon orders or your Walmart orders? Have you integrated some funky outside form, you know, with Zapier? All of these kinds of things come into play when you start to look at orders. And then we get into the granularity around your tax authorities and your ship methods and just get an understanding of how the business operates. And then you get into more complex things, which are things like order cancellations and line item cancellations and refunds and fulfillment. Who's doing your fulfillment and how does that work? You see a lot of companies that are bypassing the ERP and having the 3PL go directly in and out of the Shopify store. And that creates, as one scales, a huge number of issues around multi-channel velocity and the ability to now start to segment inventory by location. And so it's all of this kind of stuff that we dig into. And that allows us then to formulate an action plan and a budget around what the customer wants to do. The reality is, and, you know, I think kudos to Shopify for surfacing this whole ERP integration program, because what it's done is it's changed the conversation from integration is a necessity to there are different types of ways to do integration. And I think that's really important. So just digging into the business processes allows us now to understand the business, the operational needs, but also get a better sense of how the interactions with the ERP are going to happen.
Right. You know what's interesting too is that because you've been in this industry a long time, like dating way back in the EDI days, and just kept slowly pivoting toward, you know, like you said, more cloud-based kind of services, and now really doubling down on a lot of Shopify and kind of e-commerce. Commerce in general is quite a hot market. Complexity is growing, and I can see that. And knowing that that complexity is there, and I agree with you that there are some. You know, Shopify just launched this kind of, I think in Q4 of last year, this kind of global ERP program. And fair enough, they have a few great connectors, but I believe that they're set in a very unique use case of some basic connection paths. But I find that brands that have made the investment to have, you know, Microsoft Dynamics or to have NetSuite or other kind of platforms as their ERP, in all likelihood, they've scaled to 10, 20, 50 million, 100 million. I got many brands in $200 million range that are just integrating NetSuite. NetSuite right now, there's no way that an out-of-the-box NetSuite connector, I don't care who builds it, it's not going to work for them out of the box, right?
That's so true, because you have to look at the connector for what it is. Who is it built for? Well, it's built for the lowest common denominator, and it's going to force you to make changes in the way that you run your business. So, you know, if you've got a really funky product setup, you may have to, and if you go that route of using one of these plug and play tools, then you may find yourself in a situation where you have to restructure your whole product master. And that has downstream implications because you may be selling those products to other channels. So, you know, these are some of the things that you have to think about. You may have volume constraints with these programs. Like if you look at the Microsoft world right now, a lot of the plug-and-play tools that are out there are really designed to read and write from the database, and they're integrated right into the ERP itself. That's great if you've got low volumes, but the minute you start getting high volumes, particularly in a SQL Server stack, you're going to start getting data collisions, and you may not be able to have the performance, or you may not be able to handle the order volumes that you think you can handle. We recently, well, it was actually late last year, engaged with a customer down in Chile, a big kitchen supply center, that were using a plug-in to SAP business. Fortunately, we couldn't meet their timeline, but this is what they were running into, is that at their peak seasons, the plug-in and the tool they were using couldn't handle the volumes. So they were losing orders. Their inventory wasn't being synced properly. So there are trade-offs. The plug-and-play and what Shopify is going with their ERP connectors, it's going to work for some people, but it's not going to work for everybody.
I'm going to ask a question about international commerce because it comes up quite a bit now with Shopify just kind of in the midst of rollout of the Shopify Markets, they're calling it, which is really helping brands go international. I think the latest stats are something around the North American market really is only 30% of the total GMV. The total consumption of products bought online is happening in North America. So the market is massive. And I think Shopify Markets, I'll put a link in the show notes for it. You'll see it in your admin under settings. If you're a customer of Shopify, settings, and then you'll see markets. And it's interesting because it allows for, you know, the multi-currency and languages and, you know, top level domains and things, or even folder domains, how you want to do it. And big thing, duty collections and payment methods and all this kind of fun stuff. But I'm just curious from your perspective, like, do you have brands that are choosing to go international using markets or not? They could be using separate store instances, but do you feel that you have, I guess, the experience and then the business acumen to kind of really help these brands grow internationally with, you know, depending if they have 3PLs in their local markets or not, or if they're shipping like domestically from North America to their international market? Just want to get your overall feedback about the lay of the land as it relates to VL Omni and then international commerce.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. It's one that's actually quite pertinent given in the UK you've got Brexit underway and all of the logistics implications around that. So yeah, we have customers in Canada, the US, the UK, as well as the Middle East. We have global experience. I think that there's two sides to this. One is the front end facing, which you bring up, which marketplaces helps to an extent, and that is language and currency and so on and so forth. You've got sensitivities around translation. I see that regularly. You also have all of the privacy, the GDPR requirements in Europe, e-invoicing requirements in parts of the EU. And then you've got all of the customs issues that come into play. So we do have customers that have Canada, US, Australia, and EU sites, for example. It really depends on how they handle them internally on the back end. If they're running an ERP, they may be divisions. They may be set up as divisions with their own tax collection. and so on. Or they may be all feeding into a single ERP. At the end of the day, it's the choice of your logistics providers. The efficiency and the tools that the logistics providers can bring to the table are really, really critical. Because it's all very fine to take an order. At the end of the day, it's how do you get that product to your customer? And I'll give you an example. I ordered, I've got the Land Rover Defender. And I ordered some parts from the UK a week ago. Guy's on Shopify, and he was surprised that I knew so much about Shopify.
Of course and you do.
I went back and forth with him, and he was so happy to get an order from Canada because he said, you know, he said, shipping to the EU now is an absolute nightmare with all the paperwork that I have to go through. I got my order about 5 days later. So it really is the efficiency of your e-com providers and the visibility. I mean, no one likes surprises. No one likes customers' duties. If you can collect that stuff up front, do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the big claim to fames that a lot of people are enjoying now with Shopify Markets really is that duty and tax collection, all the import fees and having it from within the checkouts. I believe, you can't quote me on the stats here, but you know, anecdotally, I wouldn't be surprised if North American merchants probably have a 50% or more less conversion rate to their international markets because there's no trust. They're not showing duty and tax. And, you know, we're Canadian. I'm the same way. When I buy online and I see that they're not collecting duty and tax, then I know that I'm going to get hit. UPS is going to show up and they're going to ding me another $30 or $40 for something. It's irritating. And I think this is where Shopify Markets kind of fits into the equation, where it's really going to help people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I find with American retailers, it's, you know, yeah, we ship internationally, we ship to Canada and we use DHL or we use UPS. And, you know, lo and behold, you order and you get the notification that your parcel's held at customs and you owe them like $4 million. I knew I was going to have to pay sales tax, but now I've got another, I got almost double the sales tax in brokerage fees. And I I would order more from the States, especially the way the dollar is right now, but I mean, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. That's going to change. That is changing for sure. So those listening today, it has to change. And so this markets has got a great opportunity that I think so. You need to kind of look into that. And so I want to pivot a bit to a story now, because I think, you know, we all love stories, let's be honest. And I believe like a story really can educate and it can inspire a lot of people. And, you know, there's, 10,000 or more kind of, you know, there's entrepreneurs and founders and marketers, a lot of people listening to this episode right now. And I just wondered if you could, I hope we don't throw you into the bus here and catch you off guard, but it'd be great if you could maybe share a story with our listeners, maybe a recent journey of a brand that's implemented VL Omni, because you have two parts. There's the strategic consultation part, which I know very well, but then there's the managed service kind of integration part. So maybe you can help us uncover specifically a brand. I don't think getting off their names, but just like what motivated them from their old process? How do they find you? And then what did you do for them?
Yeah, that's an interesting, I mean, I have so many stories. But let me preface a story with a couple of things that merchants need to think about. First of all, the integration should never be an afterthought. I see a lot of merchants going into agencies and spending a ton of money on really slick designs on the front end without a thought about what's going to go into the integration. The second thing is integration is time consuming, unless you're going with a plug and play solution, but you got to know that that's built for the lowest common denominator. It is time consuming and therefore it's expensive. So for somebody to come to us and say, hey, I want you to do orders from all these channels, order cancellations, line item cancellations, my budget is $4,000 or $6,000. I mean, that's laughable. So I think that there needs to be some sensitivity around time and price. So let me give you an example. So this is a company that sells nutraceuticals. They're a global brand, well-known agency built the website. They spent a lot of energy and time and money on the front end. They wanted integration with their ERP. Problem was that the agency had very limited experience with that particular ERP. And there were a lot of assumptions that were made as part of the integration that when they turned it on, it became issue after issue after they went live. And they were referred to us by another agency that they had reached out to because they were having so many problems with their inventory counts being out of whack, orders not showing up in the ERP with no explanation, products were not being tagged properly, and it was just a litany of issues. Everything worked perfectly in a very controlled set environment, but there hadn't been enough testing. And that's the third item that I think that is really, really critical that merchants need to think about, is that you absolutely have to give yourself enough time to test your business scenarios, because even if you have all the right stakeholders at the table, there are going to be business scenarios that nobody's thought of that come out of the woodwork. So you've got to be prepared to handle those and not just throw up your arms and say, well, the integration doesn't work, you guys are no good. It's that we strive, and this is where the strategy and the managed service comes in. We strive to understand as much as possible about the business, but I'm not in your business day to day, so I don't know all the nitty gritty and the details. But suffice it to say, these guys were having a huge number of problems. They came to us, they were referred to us. We went through the issues and we discussed how we would solve them. And they asked us to work with their existing integration. We said, no, I mean, we're not going to take over somebody's code that we don't know anything about. And it was custom DIY code that the agency had actually built. They had no documentation. They didn't know how it worked. They had a superficial idea of how some of the triggers and some of the things worked, but they hadn't been willing to pay for enough clarity from the agency, that they were sort of blind when they came to us. We went through a discovery with them, laid out some of the issues, how we would solve them. And what came out of it was that there was setup on their ERP that they hadn't done, that needed to be done. And they needed to get a consultant in to fix some of the things around tax authorities and how they were being written to GL accounts. They hadn't tested enough with their discounts to make sure the discounts were hitting properly. So it was all of these kinds of things that once we got into it, and it was a little bit adversarial at first, there were pushback. There always is. Now they realize the journey we took them through, they're in a much better place. And this is a site that wanted to do B2B, and somebody from their ERP vendor recommended they look at a plugin, and they approached us and said, well, could we have used this? And I said, well, no, because if you want to do B2B, this particular plugin that they're proposing is only designed for B2C. And that's another can of worms as B2B becomes much more prevalent and really in many, many companies, the leading edge. This is another whole area that companies that are looking at the Shopify ERP tools for integration need to pay attention to. If you're using plugins like Returnly or Loop for returns, those plugins probably won't handle return orders. So that's something to think about, because you have to go directly to their APIs to pull those, and those are outside of the normal Shopify APIs. If you're using, say, SparkLayer's B2B plugin, which is really a fantastic tool, you got to feed pricing into that, not into Shopify. So here again, a plugin probably won't work. So you really need to step back and think about what you're doing, and this is where the strategic consulting comes into play. And the managed element is, okay, as we work our way through it, we're not just simply setting something up and turning it on, but we're actually working with you to determine what's the best way to handle the business scenarios.
Yeah, that's lovely. I want to chat about too is about your sweet spot for customer, because I believe that's important. You know, you made a comment saying that if someone is under the impression that, you know, this is a $5,000 problem or even a $10,000 problem, then, you know, VL Omni is not the right solution for you. And I get that. And so I just would love to kind of understand, you know, the market that you've carved for the brand and the types of customers that you're looking for. Because those listening today, I just want them to kind of choose to continue listening to this episode and saying, hey, you know what? That's where we are. We're in that kind of complexity in GMV today. And here's our growth goal. So what is your perfect customer look like?
Well, our perfect customer is one that's got a tech stack A that can be integrated to. That's first and foremost. You would be astounded at the people who could come across. Their back-end infrastructure is so antiquated that you can't do things. They've got a laundry list of 10 things that they want to do, but when you dig through it, there's only about 4 that you can set up because of the tech stack. Those with newer ERPs and that are more cloud-based ERPs, if they're true ERPs, because there's a lot of platforms out there that masquerade as ERPs that are not even close to an ERP. ERP has financial information in it. Then you've got to really look at the business processes that they want to put in place. There has to be an openness to do that. There needs to be some complexity in their tech stack. And there needs to be some complexity in their operations. They could be doing B2C and B2B. Our ideal customer does both. And typically those are the ones that we attract. They running finance and operations from the Microsoft suite, Nav, AX, Business Central, SAP, ECC, Syspro, Sage X3. Those are the kinds of products that we deal with. We need to work closely with the ERP vendor because more often than not, there is configuration that's required on the ERP side of things. And we need to work with whoever's built the Shopify site to actually align the tech stack on the back end with the front end. And I'll give you an example. We're in the process right now of building a BOPUS scenario, buy online, pick up in store, where there are real-time inventory calls being made on the product page by geolocation through us to the ERP APIs to be able to show real-time visibility on the product page at a particular store location. That requires under the hood work on the Shopify side of things. And then it requires us to handle the requests coming from Shopify through to the APIs or the other side in a way that doesn't impact the customer expectations. I mean, that scenario is being set up for a large retailer with a lot of physical locations across Canada, but it's an example of where complexity hits the road and the alignment of what you can do, what you can serve up data-wise, and the front-end customer experience becomes really, really great.
I love that buy online, pick up in store options. I do have, you know, other retailers right now that are, you know, online. They have traditional retail. They like the idea of curbside pickup. Shopify has kind of a basic option for sure that can be functional, but being able to have and reveal real-time inventory counts, just, you know, think of some larger retailers that can do that sort of thing. It's nice to have that option and technology to be able to do that and have the already done it or in the process of doing it further for other large retailers. So
it really speaks to the relationship between the ERP people, the agency that's building the site, and what we do is that we all have to be in concert. We all have to have worked through the business scenario and figured out what's the best way to handle it. All the while keeping the lightweightness of the front end in place.
Right. So let's talk about the future for VL Omni, because like I said, it's been a few years since I've last, and when I say the future, it's 28 years already, but if you're not moving, you're, in my opinion, then you're going backwards. That's just the way technology is. I'm just curious, you know, do you have a North Star for 22? I mean, we're kind of getting on the pandemic. Maybe things are slowly.
I would hope to get through this bloody pandemic. So I think it's important that the audience understands the integration and the requirements on that merchants are driving are getting more sophisticated and more complex. I had said this a couple of years ago that e-com was fairly simplistic compared to bricks and mortar retail, and that it was just a matter of time before e-com was going to pick up. I think that merchants who have bricks and mortar and are looking at e-com need to think of e-com as a store with all of the complexity of a store. And those that are pure play e-com, customers' expectations are getting more and more sophisticated. They're more demanding. There's more requirements for versatility, for timeliness and accuracy. And I think that what we've focused on, I mean, we made a big pivot when we launched our platform. We were selling on-premise middleware. We developed our own platform in AWS microservices, and we've really buckled down and doubled down on building that technology out. So our tech stack now, we run facilities in Virginia, Montreal, and in Ireland. And we've worked very closely with Amazon on the AWS services side to ensure that what we're building is forward thinking and resilient enough to take us into the complexity that we've got. I think that we're seeing a constant evolution in our connectors. Our connectors are not static because there are so many business cases that get thrown at us that we can set up, but they're not set up in the connectors currently. And that's where I think the future is more functionality, more flexibility, more resiliency, higher volumes. I mean, we had a customer, I'm not going to name them, but they sell skis, who on Black Friday, they did one of those old school type of the first 100 people get their TV for $5 kind of thing that you used to see in the old days at bricks and mortar. Well, they did that on their Shopify site, and we got 200 orders in the first 4 seconds.
That's a flash sale.
that was a flash sale. Thank God Shopify throttles their webhooks. But if we didn't have the platform we had, there was no way that they could have handled that kind of volume.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot. I have a couple flash sellers too, and there's always the inventory syncing problem. And we always say, you got to turn off a bunch of things. Like, we can talk to engineering internally and say, hey, they're going to run a flash sale. We better think about boosting things up. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for giving us the heads up on that. But there's also just the website itself and all its third-party dependencies that are kind of slowing some things down.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you have to be lean. You've really got to be lean. And then to come back to the rest of your question about where we're going, we're focusing much more on platform-specific connectors, building out our Shopify robustness. Our Shopify connectors are pretty rich, but we constantly come across new cases that we've got to develop for. So we've got ongoing iterative development. We're constantly building the platform to make it more robust, more solid, more performant. So it's a never-ending thing.
Good. That's lovely. Love to hear that. We are nearing the end of the show for today. I really enjoy this conversation because it feels like it's very impactful and very timely, because I do have brands that are in that kind of, I believe, in your sweet spot of, you know, GMV and complexity and maturity is certain. And, you know, and I think have a reasonable tech stack that can be integrated correctly based on the business outcomes they want. And so I appreciate you coming on the show today. And I just would love to know, where should we send people that are listening today? Do you have any websites or any recommendations kind of moving forward?
Sure. Website, vlomni.com. And they can subscribe to our newsletter on the site. We have a blog. And for those of you who are really starting out and thinking about integration, or you've got a plug and play that you're having trouble with, we have Integration 101 introductory guide. We also have, we did with One Rockwell out of New York, we did a total cost of ownership ebook that has quite a meaty section in there on costs of integration and the different types of integration. So we've got a lot of resources on our website. Actually, we get hit on our website from all over the world, people looking at the resources that we've got. So yeah, I almost think that we should be, you know, some sort of a course offering sometimes. But take a look at the website. You know, that's your first point of contact with us.
Absolutely. I'll put that all in the show notes. So vlomni.com. I'll have that there. And then all the links to everything, your blog. I actually subscribe to the blog. I think I even syndicate a lot of your content on e-commerce Fastlane too, just to kind of cast a wider net for discovery. I've not seen the One Rockwell article yet and that ebook, so I'm going to download that guy too. See, life of learning, right?
We also did an ebook on where we really dug into B2B. And actually, we have a blog article that we wrote just after Shopify announced their ERP integration program. We wrote a blog, a comparative blog, to say, okay, if you're going for plug and play, here are all the things that you need to think about. And we give people a checklist of questions that they need to answer.
Wow, that's lovely. That's perfect. Okay, maybe I'll chat after recording today and I'll make sure I get that link, or I'll search for it and add it to the show notes again too. So, but just once again, I just want to thank you for your encore recording. We'll make this an annual event from now on. We'll make sure we get that in the books for next year. You know, I know you know this, but I like to end my show off that, you know, Shopify really does have a mission to make commerce better for everyone. And it is clear to me that I know for a fact that VL Omni really is also in tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands to improve efficiencies, for sure. Number one, through your consultative kind of this consultative kind of approach you have, which I think is fantastic, along with your platform. And I just wanted to thank you for, you know, number one, taking time and coming on the show today. It's always, I learn a ton. If you see my notes, like, I have like 2 pages of notes. Like, I just honestly, like, it's a life of learning. And I just wanted to thank you for giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Oh, Steve, you're most welcome. And anytime, you know, I'm at a point where it's time to pay it forward. And I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there too of what you can achieve with proper integration. People, and this is something that all merchants should think about, is that people, when they don't understand things, it's human psychology. They focus on what they do understand. And when it comes to integration, it's always price. But you need to peel the onion and you need to get beyond that. And that's why we've built much of the resources that we've got, is to try and help people to do that.
So. All right. That's lovely. All right. Well, have yourself a great afternoon. And thanks again for recording today.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
Great to have been here.
Today's episode is brought to you by Dot Digital. From email marketing to full omnichannel marketing orchestration, Dot Digital transforms your customer insights into personalized marketing campaigns. Learn more about their incredible solution and get started today at dotdigital.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.